Good morning. I do welcome everyone to our services this morning. A couple of things to share before we get into the message. And one is for everybody, and there's a bunch of you here, for everybody that was a part of our... I just pushed the wrong button here. Give me a second. It's not a problem. It's just that's this morning's message. No, everybody that participated in the live nativity, thank you. Friday and Saturday, this has probably been one of the best years, if not the best year we've ever had. Marge said that in the kitchen, she didn't even get a chance to move out and talk to people because she was so busy in the kitchen. The sidewalk was lined with people. Traffic was backed up the street. It was awesome. And it was a great time. People enjoyed it. Advertising, people had seen the advertising at the end of the street and the electronic billboard across town, and I had comments on that. Somebody asked, well, why was it so successful? And one, I think it was because we were doing what God wanted us to do and bringing honor and glory to Him. But there's another thing that went with it, and we couldn't escape it, was the fact that a lot of people were seeing a lot different scene on television this weekend. Before I get into the message, we are going to take a moment and we're going to pray. As you know, the shooting in Connecticut, it has touched pretty much everyone in the country. And we have to feel for those families who today are gathered in a different setting, much different environment. One lady last night, as she came, and this is kind of the way the nativity works, but as she came, over to me and talked to me, and she said, thank you for doing this, thanking the church for doing it. And I said, you know, we're glad that we can. And she just looked at me, she said, you know, I was home watching television. She said, I just couldn't watch any more of it. She said, I didn't want to see any more, so I decided to go out and just drive around and look at Christmas lights. And she said, down at the end of the street, I saw this big light shining, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was. But as she came up the street, then she saw the nativity scene, and she said, this is what I needed. She said, now I've been able to focus my mind on something that is wonderful and beautiful and reminds me of something great, and it gets me away from that scene. Folks, all I can say as we think of those whose families lost children or parents, those that were shot, is we need to pray for them. Because prayer is what's going to get them through. Prayer is what's going to give them strength. And we may think, well, we're 900 miles from there, but our prayers transcend that difference or that distance. So just for a moment this morning, I'm going to ask that you bow your heads. And I'd like for you, just where you're sitting, to lift up a prayer to God. And just ask Him to touch hearts in Connecticut today. For those who need wisdom, we ask that He would give wisdom. For those who need strength, we ask that He would give strength. For those who need comfort, we ask that He would give comfort. And even as we think about it, it's not just those in Connecticut, those immediate families that have been impacted, but it branches out and it sweeps across the nation. And our prayers would be for the nation and for the peace that only God can give. So just for a moment, would you be in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you today and simply ask that you would be with those who have been impacted by the tragedy there in Connecticut. Father, I pray that we would not overreact to what has happened, but also, Lord, that we would not dismiss it. Father, we pray for families who have lost children and how tragic that is. We pray for the emergency personnel, for the police, for the fire department, for the ambulance, all who rushed into a scene that at best was gruesome and very hard to handle. Father, for those who are on site and those who are on their way to offer comfort and offer help, and Father, even to offer hope through this tragedy, protect their travels, Lord, and then give them the words that they need to share with those who are hurting so much. Father, we celebrate today a risen Savior. We celebrate a child born in a manger who would be the Savior to all men. And Father, it's through that we have the hope of eternal life. It's through that we know that there is forgiveness and that you can give forgiveness that is beyond our comprehension. And Father, I just ask that as we'd have this time this morning, that you would touch the hearts of those that are here, that as they hear the message, Lord, they would realize that you're still on your throne and you still have a plan even though we don't understand it. And Father, that you are in charge. Lord, we just lift this up to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. What you're seeing is Pastor getting himself in trouble again. Can I see that? Now, this may age some of you, but how many of you remember what these are? Wow. These are fans. And I know down south, and then I saw Donna over here this morning, and I just had to do this because down south where she comes from, they say y'all. Ewens. I'm sorry. Thank you. She corrected me. They say Ewens. But in every church you go in, almost, especially the Baptist, you'll see, I'm just burying myself, you'll see these sitting on the seats, and people come in, and while the pastor's up preaching, as he looks out at the congregation, he's got 50 people doing this. It's a little distracting. Here, honey, enjoy it. I love you, Donna. Listen, a survey was done, and the survey, the question was asked, which characters from the Advent account most identify with people, or that you would identify with? And this morning, I want you to think, as you think of all the characters in the Advent story, you know, which one you would identify with, the one that you think you could connect with the best. How many of you would say Mary? Oh, no Mary. Now, Jesus isn't the answer here, by the way. If you're waiting for me to say Jesus, we know he's the one we all identify with, but we're talking about the other characters. So nobody raised their hand on Mary. How about Joseph? Anybody think they could relate to Joseph? Okay. The wise guys. What about the wise guy? We got some wise guys. Okay, all right. Anybody Anybody able to relate to Herod? Yeah, Barb, I know. Well, really, surprisingly, folks, in this little survey that was done, the one that came out on top by far were the shepherds. The shepherds. People could identify the shepherds. Now, when I was young, we used to do a Christmas play every year in church, and everybody wanted a role, and everybody wanted a part. And one year, and I was little, it was Little Dennis then, I got the part of one of the shepherds. And the way the scene set up, and the way that everything opened, is they had a little mock campfire there. And so the shepherds initially were around the campfire and were supposed to be asleep. So I'm laying there next to the little mock campfire, and the play is going on, and I fell asleep. I mean, really fell asleep. And it came time for my part and my lines, and I was asleep. I slept right through them. Somebody else jumped in and said something, and when the play was over, somebody kicked me kind of and made me wake up. They never asked me to be a shepherd again. Matter of fact, I think after that I got the role of a rock. They said something about just standing over on one side and maybe putting my arms up and being real still because I'm a palm tree. That didn't work well with my vocabulary either, because still and me, they don't go together. I got to be moving. I don't know why they never gave me a more important part, but that's the way it was. Well, listen, most of us are pretty comfortable with the Christmas story. And maybe the truth is we're so familiar with it, it's become part fable and part legend in our minds. Some have sentimentalized it so much that they skim along on a superficial level. And really what's happening is, as we're thinking about the Advent, we're thinking about Christmas, what people are really doing is they're counting down to the remaining shopping days till Christmas. And they started counting down those shopping days till Christmas back before Halloween. It's the way it worked. People were just going along and not really looking at the nativity. Some people are stressing about all the things they've got to do. I've got to get cookies baked. We've got to have the dinner. We've got to do that. I've got to go here. I've got to go there. And they're all stressed out about the things that they have to do. And here's the problem. When we get bogged down with that kind of stuff, we miss it. We miss the nativity. We miss the point of it. We miss Jesus. Because we're directed in so many different directions. And we get so mixed up by it. There was a little girl one time who misquoted John 3:16, but I think it kind of fits here to how we mess up the nativity. And here's how she said John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son." A lot of truth there. The shepherds received news about a gift that was to be given, and a gift that still goes on. And because of what they did with this gift, we too can sing joy to the world. I find it interesting that God chose to send the birth announcement of his son to shepherds. Luke 2:8, it doesn't tell us much about who they were. There's no real adjectives used to describe them. All it says is this, "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby." Listen. Shepherds at that time, they made up the lowest class of people there were. In the Old Testament, it wasn't that way. In the Old Testament, we see where the shepherds were more, smarter, wiser, leader type. But when we get into the New Testament, we see they're the lowest as they could be. And they actually came in just a little bit ahead of lepers. And the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insight from the rabbis, read these words: no help is to be given to heathen or shepherds. So in order to understand how unusual it was to have the shepherds appear, or have the angels appear to the shepherds, we need to understand a little bit about the shepherds. And we're going to talk about them this morning. Just a few facts about the shepherds. One, they were considered what's called ceremonially unclean. Because of the nature of their work, they were never able to attend any religious services. They were isolated and forgotten because the flocks had to be moved around and they had to find new grass and fresh water and they had to be moved on a daily basis. And so the shepherds never stayed in one place too long. The shepherds? Well, the shepherds were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others and would often confuse thine with mine. Their testimony was never allowed in court because they were so unreliable. Their character was always questioned. The shepherds were known to be harsh and bold, and living out in the fields away from society made them most unappealing to most people. And most of them had very foul mouths, and they were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. This is who God chose to trust the most important message given to man. Two. He sent it from heaven to a bunch of smelly, nasty shepherds. Now, actually, it isn't so unusual, is it? God's always worked wonders for the forgotten. He's always done wonders for the despised. He's always done things for the lowly. From the very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humble. Matthew 9, 12 through 13 says, It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus was speaking, and Jesus reached out to sinners like Zacchaeus and Levi. He reached out to sinners as he would reach out to prostitutes and demon-possessed people and strangers and Samaritans. He did his ministry, and he did what the Father did as the Father brought him in this lowly stable where shepherds looked at the Lord along with all the animals. Mary took all of this and she captured up everything that happened and she recorded it in Luke 1:52. It says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones but has lifted up the humble. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He chose the lowly to make his announcements to. He chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, so that no one would boast before him. The shepherds help us to see that God has a message for sinners. And everyone, absolutely everyone, matters to God. And the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts. What a strange way to save the world. As we briefly look at the shepherds, we're going to see some lessons that we can apply to our lives so that we don't forget about the Son this Christmas season. One of the first things you notice about the shepherds is they were attentive. They were attentive to their job. They knew what they had to do, and they did it. Luke 2 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were so committed to their career that they never left their work. They had a job to do. They had responsibility, and they stayed with it. They not only worked third shift, they worked first shift, second shift. The job for them was a 24/7 deal, and they had to be there with the sheep. It's often that different flocks would come together at night because there was more safety that way. And they'd come together in the same fold. And then what would happen was really weird, because they had a gate that the shepherds would, or that the sheep would go into, and then they had a fence around it, or a guard around it. And what they would do at the gate so that other animals couldn't get to the sheep and the sheep couldn't get out, one of the shepherds would actually lay across the entrance to the sheepfold. And the idea of him sleeping there and laying there in that position is, one, the sheep would not get out, and two, those things that would attack the sheep would not get in. He would literally lie across the entrance to make sure that the sheep were safe. John 10:9, Jesus said this. He says, I am the gate. Think how he applies it. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus puts himself as the one lying at the gate. You notice that God came to those who were attentive at their jobs and that which they were given to do. They weren't slackers, and he met them right where they were, right there in the field. And likewise, whatever God has called you to do, you need to be attentive to it and to do it with excellence. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And you may be thinking that God doesn't even know you exist, but folks, you're so wrong. You may be thinking somehow that God is mad at you. You might be thinking that you're insignificant to God or to Emmanuel. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to meet you right where you are. And you don't have to clean yourself up or act like somebody that you're not. Folks, if you smell like a shepherd, then let Jesus wash you up. If your sins are wiping you out, allow Jesus to lift you up. And heaven chooses to bring a message to the messed up people of the world, to the low achievers as well as the high. Listen, you were created in the image of God as an original masterpiece, and the signature of the Creator is inscribed in your soul. Shepherds? The shepherds were awed. While they were being attentive to the responsibilities that they'd been given, they're suddenly awed by an angelic announcement. Can you imagine that? Imagine the guy laying there guarding the gate, and then this angel appears and he says, how am I going to do this one? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. God meets us where we are, folks. And very often when he meets us, and we open our hearts up and allow him to, very often when he meets us, he brings us to our knees. God's glory lights up the sky, and it causes the shepherds to quake in their sandals. And folks, whenever we come face to face with God's holiness, we will fall apart because of our sinfulness. Peter had this response in Luke 5:8 and said to Jesus, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Well, the shepherds, they could have also been terrified because they didn't know if this was maybe an angel of judgment that came to get them because of their rowdiness and all the things they'd done. Perhaps he had been sent there to pay them back for that stuff. Maybe their sins were catching up with them and now they would be vaporized or something. Whatever the case, they were in awe. And you know, it would take a lot for these guys, these tough shepherds, to be scared. When was the last time you were in awe of God? The last time you just looked up and you said, "Thank you, God, you are here. Wow." That you felt His presence. We go through life and we call ourselves Christians, and we don't feel the awe of God. It'll bring you to your knees. It'll bring you to your knees in repentance. It'll bring you to your knees in prayer. Well, the shepherds, they accepted things. And the attentive shepherds are filled with awe, and now they accept the message of good news of great joy. Luke 2, 10 through 15, anyway, it says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" The angel calms them down, telling them that he is bringing them good news of acceptance, forgiveness, and hope. That we would have a lot to fear if Christmas didn't happen. And that is the truth. But this is good news that he brings, and it's news of great joy. The Greek word here for this great joy is mega, which means exceedingly or large, loud, and mighty. Wycliffe translates it this way, "I evangelize you to great joy." Listen, joyless faith is a contradiction in terms. If you say you are a Christian and you say you have faith and you have no joy, folks, it's a contradiction. If you say that you believe in Christ, that you follow the Lord and that you want to be His servant and you want to do what He wants you to do and you have no joy, I want to put it even harder terms, you're a liar. Because part of the being with God and knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord is the joy that comes from inside. It's a joy that is real. It's a joy that we can't explain. It's a joy we can't understand. And people run around as Christians and they act like this. That's it. "Hey, I'm a Christian. How about you?" "Oh yeah, I want to get to know that God." I'm sorry, folks, that's not what it is. Joyless Christians, contradiction. The joy of the Lord fills us. And it's the joy of the Lord that brings the smile to our face, even in the hardest times and the most difficult times. And we blow it off. Let me tell you something, Christian. If you haven't done it, start doing it. Pray for joy. Pray for joy. This message that is given is a message for all the people. And I also want you to notice in there, as we read that, it's for all the people, but there's also that word in there, is for you as well. It's for the whole world, but it must also become deeply personal. And after getting more specifics, a whole regiment of rejoicing angels filled the sky, praising God and saying, can you imagine this? One angel appears and I'm scared because I'm not sure what's coming. And now this angel has told me what's about to happen and suddenly the sky lights up and I look. And there is a multitude, it doesn't say a number, but there is a multitude of angels that are there. And they're looking and they see these little shepherds down here. And that would be scary too, but listen, They start saying and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." That's comfort. Glory to God in the highest. And you put your name on there, and on Dennis, or whatever your name is. I'm the only Dennis here. His favor rests. Does it? Have you allowed it to? Do you realize that? Do you feel that? Do you know that God looks at you and he smiles? Why? Because we give him praise. Because we serve him. And because we're willing to receive what he gives. We make God happy when we do what we're supposed to. They accepted this message, and we know they accepted the message because in verse 15 we hear where the shepherd said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see." Have you accepted the message and allowed the Word of God to work in you? God's news and the good news that God gives is a gift, and it must be received if you want it to be activated in your life. A lot of people don't understand that either. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for your sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross so that you could have eternal life. He sent his Son for you. But have you accepted it? That's the good news. That gift has to be received in order to have all the other stuff that God talks about in your life. The joy, the happiness, the contentment. Well, the shepherds, they also acted out. They got going. The shepherds didn't just accept and enjoy the message that they received. They acted on it. Luke 2:16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Now that word, the hurried off, it means that they left in haste. The idea is that they were in this, come on, hurry up, we gotta go. And they rushed off. And this is pretty amazing in itself because shepherds normally did not do anything quickly. Kind of like me. Right, I like that. They were patient men. They were accustomed to moving slowly through the pastures. The Bible's clear that acceptance must lead to action. James 2:17 says, "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." They could have doubted. They could have delayed. But instead, they decided to act and they moved on. And they went and saw. And the first thing they did was hop up and go to Bethlehem. And they wanted to see the baby with their own eyes. A baby. Born in a smelly stable. Well, to them, that would not have been a problem. They were used to smelly stables. They were used to the scent of sheep. Unclean shepherds came to a smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying on a bed of hay. They left and they shared. And it's striking that they don't pull up a bale of straw and make themselves comfortable, isn't it? They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they had a message to deliver, and they were now the managers of that message. And the message they shared really did not give any reference to Mary or to Joseph. They came to see the child. And after seeing the child, now they head out to tell the good news. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Can you imagine? Okay, here's Mary and Joseph, and they come walking in, and they knock on the door, you know, and they say, hey, we need a place to sleep. We talked about this last week a little bit, and the innkeeper comes to the door, and the innkeeper's busy. He said, look, here's the way it is. The place is full. Don't you know there's this census, and everybody's coming to Bethlehem, and we're busy. I've got people to feed. I've got rooms to get ready. I've got a full house. I don't have any room for you. I don't have any place for you. And then somebody comes over with I'll put them out in the barn. Just put them out with the sheep. This teenage girl that's way pregnant. Later in the night. Can you imagine? Because we're not given the times here. All we know is it passes and it's still nighttime. And later in the night, can you imagine? Here comes this shepherd. Bam, 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 knocking on the door, and he's all excited, and the innkeeper opens the door and says, guess what, there's a baby, baby's been born over there, and it's really this cute baby, and this angel came to us and told us that this baby is going to be born, and you need to come see, and they're going all over town, because they have a message to share that a child had been born, but not any child. This was the Son of God. And an angel appeared to them and gave them that message. And they weren't going to sit still and they weren't going to be idle. They were going to go deliver the message because it was that important. Time didn't matter. Imagine the response. Some people might have thrown rocks at him. Other people might have actually come out of their homes and gone to see the baby. I wonder if the innkeeper went to see what was going on back in the barn. Good news of great joy. For today, a child has been born. And the shepherds just couldn't keep quiet. Here's a question I have for you. This is what we're celebrating. This is what we're doing this year at Christmas time. We celebrate the birth of Christ. The nativity this past couple of nights, it wasn't about the animals. It wasn't about the people. It was about the symbolism of the birth of Jesus Christ. And everything we do and everything we have lined up and set up out there points to that manger, to the idea of that Christ child who was born for us. Who have you shared this with? Who will you share it with? You know, it'd be awesome if after church today, every person here picked one more person and went and shared Jesus with them. You know what we heard today in church? Today in church, we heard about a baby. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, but this wasn't any normal baby. Oh. No, you don't understand. We heard about a baby, a child that was born 2,000 years ago. Oh, okay, all right. And his name is Jesus. And he was the Son of God. And we're celebrating Christmas this year because we know that Jesus came. Maybe you could be the shepherds in this year's story. They wouldn't give me the part anymore. The shepherds, they adored the child. What's really cool here is that the shepherds went back to their same boring jobs, but they weren't the same inside. They returned to where they started. And they were attentive again. You notice they didn't write a book or go on a speaking tour. or launch some ministry called A Shepherd's Story. After Christmas, we have to go back to the same routine, but we can do so rejoicing. We are to rejoice right where we are. And yes, it is possible to have joy in our jobs, even if the jobs are junky. It's possible to have joy in school, even if you don't like it. Luke 2:20 said, the shepherds returned, listen to this, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and were just as they had been told. They don't just wonder about what they saw. They worshiped Him who they saw. It's a clear evidence of conversion, folks. A clear evidence is adoration. Someone has observed that many of us worship our work. Others work at our play and play at our worship. That's not the way it should be. When a person is genuinely converted, he or she will praise God. Allow yourself this Advent season to adore that baby as you glorify and you praise Him. And praise Him for all that you have seen and all that you've heard. And then you can return to the same place tomorrow, but folks, not as the same person. You want to take on the role of the shepherds? You can. Or will you just plant yourself, you know, like a tree and be as unmovable as a rock? The shepherds were changed forever by what they saw. And you can be as well if you follow that example. Be attentive, folks, to what God's called you to do. Would you bow your heads? My prayer for each of you this Christmas season is that you would look and see that little child lying in a manger. My prayer is that you would be attentive to this, that you would adore this child, that you would act upon that, that you'd allow Christ to direct your Christmas this year. It makes a difference, and it's something new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message that you send. And you send that message through lowly shepherds, even more, Father, through someone like me. And Father, we just pray that this year, with everything else that's going on, that you will not get lost. That we will hang on to having you in position, to knowing that Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again so that we could have eternal life. So that we could escape the guilt of our sin. Father, I just pray for those who are suffering today. Touch their hearts. Let them feel your peace. For those who are calling out to you at this time, Lord, just be there with them. And I lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.